All right. Well, we have spent so much time over the past couple of weeks, and rightly so, talking about the contributions from a bunch of guys from Buffalo, three guys from Buffalo. Turns out, though, Kevin Barker, that Kevin Smith, former Blue Jays farmhand, delivers the biggest blow of this particular game, a 5-2 loss to the Oakland Athletics by the Blue Jays. 6-3 in this 9-game run between against Washington, Colorado, and Oakland. 4-2 in this road trip. They got three more against Kansas City. The playoff spot was nice. The Jays enjoyed it for less than 24 hours. While they're still, you know, let's wait. Texas is playing Houston tonight, and given what Houston's doing, I probably should have saved that joke for maybe tomorrow when Blair and Barker. But the numbers to call are 416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. Mr. Barker, sir, Kevin Smith. Now, I don't know about the wind in Oakland. I mean, I know about the ball flying differently in the afternoon than at night. Got to ask you, though, man, that pitch that Kevin Smith hit out, I didn't think it was a horrible pitch.
Absolutely not.
Why was he able? Very simple, I've never played the game question of someone who is the mayor of Back Lake City, after all. How the hell does that ball get out?
Yeah, well, we've been talking about this with Vladdy for forever, is keep your shoulder in, stay inside the baseball, have a little length to your swing, and backspin some baseballs. That's exactly what happened. It's a good pitch. Trevor Richards, the league's hitting 135 off his changeup. Like, he can tell dudes it's coming. You got really most of the time no chance of hitting it. Just today so happens that fastball command was catching too much of the plate, and sometimes I think it's hard for, you know, fans of a certain team to tip your hat, even to players on double-A teams like the Oakland Athletics.
Come on, and they're triple-A. Triple-A.
That's you could argue. That's exactly what happened today. The Ryu homer that he gave up, the two-run homer. I mean, I know he's trying to go up and in. That's a good pitch, just down and in. Dude just dropped the head. Like, he had a good approach, kept the front side in. He added length to his swing. He put barrel to baseball. Like, sometimes, occasionally, the hitter beats the pitcher that's standing on the mound. And for me, that was what happened today. Kevin Smith, again, we talk about this forever. With every hitter that tries to have success continuously on an everyday basis, is how do you do that, right? You stay balanced, you keep your front side in, you stay inside the baseball, which adds length to your swing, which gives you a chance to cover quadrants. And sometimes you cover a quadrant that's 6 inches down out of the strike zone, and you catch it out front, you create backspin because you hit the bottom part of the baseball, you stay through it, your finish is tall above your head. And that, for me, is how that ball went out. And, again, this is that I know they gave up a two-run homer and a three-run homer. They were 1-for-5 with runners in scoring position. They didn't have a chance with a dude standing at second after the third inning against Oakland. Like, I mean, I know, like, it's fun to come on here and say bad things about when bad things happen to one of the pitchers. The two hitters beat the two dudes standing on the mound, and the offense didn't show up. It's real simple for me. Like, that's basically what happened. It's a little embarrassing for them to only have 5 chances with runners in scoring position against
Kevin,
Oakland.
They faced a left-handed pitcher who's given up, what, 31 bombs this year?
A lot.
Their cleanup hitter. And again, I understand the Jays lineup is shorthanded. But when I see a dude who's a cleanup hitter for the Blue Jays trying to bunt with 2 out and pop up the bunt against a lefty who's given up 31 home runs, and I know for whatever reason, I mean, the Jays are, what, 30th, 31st in baseball against left-handed pitchers when it comes to home runs. You know, and yeah, there were 2 outs, but to me, that at-bat, that kind of summed up the whole frustrating part of this game. Davis Schneider gets a home run off, predictably, I guess, off the A's bullpen. The Jays, after all, I think in their last 5 games have scored something like 66% of their runs against the bullpen. But I'm with you in this. Like, Trevor Richards is going to throw changeups.
Yep.
Hyunjin Ryu, you know, again, you do have to credit. You do have to credit the hitters sometimes. I didn't think it was a horrible pitch.
It was not.
Bottom line is they couldn't get it done offensively. Now, we learned today that Matt Chapman is fielding ground balls, not throwing the ball with his finger. I mean, I'm no doctor. I don't even play one on TV or the radio. But it sure doesn't seem to me like they're counting on Matt Chapman being back anytime soon. We may see Bo at some point this weekend, which is obviously good news. Fingers crossed. We'll wait and see if the Jays give us any update on Danny Jansen, who went to visit a hand specialist today. But even saying that, Kevin, even without Jansen, even without Bo, even without Chapman,
Brandon Belt.
I mean, come on. You got to give me more than a double, an RBI single, and a solo home run. I mean, I'm sorry.
Yeah, again, I think this is like Groundhog Day. Sometimes they look so good like they did last night offensively when it, you know, you have in the big inning. That's exactly what they had last night. Now they were, you know, you didn't want to watch the TV because you hadn't scored runs through six innings. Sort of what exactly kind of the thing they do, right, is it's just the consistency of plate appearances seem to not be the way they should be looking this time of the year. And, you know, again, I don't want to pick on Vladdy. You can see he's visibly frustrated on everything he does, right? He hits the ball hard. He thinks should go out. It doesn't. Like, I think he's at the end of where he's tried everything. Now it's just you go out and you get lucky. Like, I think is sort of where he's at. He got plenty of pitches today to hammer. Like, I know
yes,
we talk
did.
About it's about the pitches he swings at. I mean, he got a couple of fastballs. They came after him with heaters. Like, I know that the changeup that it was a way that he thought he hit a homer, but the other three outs were on fastballs, and two of them were middle down. Those are balls that if you are balanced, you are on time, you have good separation, you're in an athletic position, you have good finish, you absolutely, because your name is Vladimir Guerrero Jr., you should be annihilating those baseballs, and he's just not. And I think that's what it is, right? When all the names that you just mentioned there are not in the lineup, and the big boy that you think is the big boy ain't being a big boy, everybody else is trying to fill in the blank and trying to be big boys, and quite frankly, they're not. I mean, that's why you see Whit Merrifield trying to bunt, you know, hitting cleanup, right? It's right now on this team, cleanup is hitting fourth is just a number, right? There, it's just where you're hitting in the order. It has nothing, no bearing of what you're trying to do or you know, how you're trying to help a baseball team. So, yeah, it's fingers crossed Bo gets back in a hurry. Brandon Belt's healthy with the stomach thing and the back issue. And, maybe you can get your full lineup against another bad team. Hopefully you can seal the deal and play better baseball. You know, getting picked off, trying to steal, you know, early in games, like these little things can't happen. You move George Springer up to get traffic on the bases because a lot of dudes aren't running into things. They're not doing special things. George sort of is. So the more traffic you get on, the better chances you have of putting up crooked numbers and getting picked off because you're trying to steal. And then the dude walks. That's awful look. Like it just really is. This time of the year, little things, playoff teams don't do things like that.
416-870-0590, *590, 1-888-666-0590. 5-2, the Jays have lost to the Oakland Athletics. They have tomorrow off. They will start a three-game series against the Kansas City Royals, and then, folks, the big series of the year. I think we can say that. The biggest series of the year to date, a four-game set against the Texas Rangers. The Rangers are playing Houston later tonight. Matter of fact, they may be starting soon. But the Rangers are playing Houston later tonight. The Jays started the day half a game up on Texas, the first time they'd been in the postseason, the first time they'd been in a wild card spot, I think, since like August 18th, something like that. But the Jays weren't able to get it done today. A couple of things I want to talk about. Obviously, we want to talk big picture. Jays fans always, it seems like all we've done this year is talk big picture, and that's fine. We're more than willing to do that. Want to know what you think of this series coming up against Kansas City and Texas. What is it going to come down to? You got Kansas City, Texas, Boston. What do the Jays have to do in that series? But also want to talk a little bit about this game as well, because Kevin, you made, and Russ, we'll get to you in a second here. You made a point about Vladdy. The first note I have in my notebook here was a guy who's a left-handed pitcher who's given up a ton of home runs, going right at Vladdy. There was, I mean, did not have an ounce of fear going after Vladdy, a right-handed power hitter. No, but I'm, this is one of those games where, yeah, it's just a snapshot of the season. But there are things you saw in this game that I think just kind of reinforce what opposing teams think of this team.
Yeah, look, with Vladdy, it ain't effort. It ain't skill. It's, for me, you look at the first two at-bats he had. The first at-bat was mechanical. Like he gets the ball down the middle, he's out and around it, he doesn't finish it, his swing looks awful. His second at-bat, it's pitch selection. So you have two different at-bats where you did two different things wrong. How do you fix that? Like, how do you find a medium in the next however many games they got left to where you can consistently get to where you need to be better mechanically and better at what you're swinging at? That's why you're seeing him walking off the field when he does hit a ball hard, left center field and left field, and it doesn't go where he wants it to go, where he's basically looking like a deer in the headlights, like, I've tried everything else. Now it's just hopefully I get one down the middle and I ain't missing it. I think that's where he's at.
Yeah, I don't know, man. Maybe I've watched too much baseball, but I got to tell you, I didn't think either of those balls were going out. I had no point that I kind of get up the edge of my seat and think, I think it's got a chance to go out. I just didn't think they did.
Yeah, I think the bad part of that is he did think they were going out.
I know.
That's the issue, right?
That is the issue. Russ in New Jersey, what is up, Russ?
Well, I guess we're not going to win 100 games. That's what we found out today, right?
Maybe not.
No, 63 losses. You know, you talk about he had a guy today on the mound who walked Tyler Heineman twice. Now I wonder when the last time that happened, if ever. So, you know, I look at the series first of all, and I say they didn't offensively. The first game, you know, I'm not going to say because any game could change, but if the guy doesn't get picked off second base on Oakland because the next guy guy's a homer right after that. We might have lost the first game. Yesterday, we don't do anything for six innings. That team is terrible, so they issued us 9 walks. And today we lost. I think this team's going to make the playoffs because I think Texas is just bad right now. You know, not only they lost 2 games to Houston, but they got killed, okay? Yeah. Their bullpen's terrible. You look at those ERAs in the box for 10, 7, 8. It's just... You know, and they're going to play Houston, and then they play Seattle 7 games. But on the Blue Jays side, I look at it like this. Number one, if Boston, you know, for their sake, if they stay in striking distance of the Blue Jays, which I think is about 4 in the loss column, they're going to go into that weekend series saying, well, if we sweep them, which they've done a couple times this year, you know, we'll be right there. I think the Yankees, you know, there's a team that I think those players don't – number one, they don't like the Blue Jays for what happened earlier this year. And number two, they're a team that doesn't – you know, I don't know the last time the Yankees were under 500, but it hasn't been a long time. And I don't think they want it – so I think they're going to be incentivized to play. So, listen, they got their – you know, they I think this team should make it – you know, Seattle plays Texas, I think, 7 times in the last week of the year. So you're going to have some of those teams losing – just the Blue Jays have to win their games, and hopefully with Bichette coming back, you know. But the guys who, to be fair, the guys who have filled in have done good. Horwitz did great. Clemente, he got some big hits. Again, today he got a hit, driving a run. You know, so the guys have played well who have filled in. Espinal's played very well, got some hits in series, got a big hit the other day to get the run home in the extra inning. So, you know, it's going to be down to the end. I think the Blue Jays do get it. And if they end up in the 6th spot, that's the best spot you want to be because, you know, to face the Twins will be easier than facing, I don't know who, Tampa or looks like Tampa or Seattle or whoever it's going to be. So that's my take. Tough loss. You got to win the series. And hopefully, you know, they come home and you got to beat Kansas City, all 3. They're just a bad baseball team. And I look at it, by the way, Cleveland was the first because they were under 500, not as bad as these guys, but you play 12 games and you're 7-5. So let's hope. I think they have a good chance based on the other teams can beat each other up. So that's my comment for the day.
Russ, appreciate the call. Yeah, Kevin, you know, Russ's point is well made. This is, and that's why I want to kind of not stay clear of the big picture, but you're in a race for a wild card spot now. You're not going to win every game the rest of the way. There are going to be games like this. There are going to be games, frankly, where they probably lose worse than they did in this game. It's just that you only get so many opportunities to keep the pressure on the Texas Rangers. And that's what I think kind of, you know, I take away from this game. And it would have been nice to go into this homestand with a little bit of a cushion, even if it's a 1.5 game cushion. It would have been nice to do that. But, you know, Russ is right, 7-5. I forgot. Got to throw Kansas City in there. 12 games, or Cleveland. 12 games against Cleveland, Washington, Colorado, and Oakland. You are 7-5. And, yeah, it's just frustrating, man. It's been frustrating all year, and this is another game. See, to me, losses like this are more frustrating than when somebody boat races you. Yeah, that happens. That's baseball. But a game like today, I found really frustrating. And you know, to Kevin's point, I don't find it frustrating because of a couple of good swings by the Oakland Athletics, but I did find it frustrating by the lack of good swings from the Blue Jays. And Kevin, again, going back to Russ, one thing about this team, if they can get in the playoffs, I got all the faith in the world in their pitching. And I want to say the one positive I thought tonight, and again, I understand it's Oakland, but I saw Chad Green go 95, 96, elevate his fastball. Yes, I know it's Oakland, but if I had to have a takeaway from this game that was positive, that would probably be it. That would probably be it, because that bullpen does have a lot of depth, and that gives me hope that if this team can just somehow get in the playoffs. Like, I don't care if they back in on the last day of the season. As long as they're in the playoffs, I think they got a shot. The problem, I think, with what Russ said, and Kevin, you pointed this out to me a month ago, and I just didn't pay attention. I don't think the Twins are soft touch anymore. Absolutely I don't think the not. Twins are soft touch anymore at all.
They can pitch the weaknesses, which is the Blue Jays lineup. It's got a bunch of them. I mean, Bo's going to come back. When he's right, he doesn't have a ton of flaws, but everybody else does. Look, you look at the next seven games, and I'm one of those people that think they need to take 6 out of 7, and they should with the way the Rangers are playing. I understand who the Rangers have lined up and who they're pitching against the Jays, but you're good. Like, the Jays should be good enough to win 6 out of 7, but the Jays are a flawed team. Like, let's be honest about it. This time of the year, you shouldn't be getting picked off early in games against bad teams. Shouldn't be doing that. Like, you should be able to have better situational hitting, like the second inning when Biggio led off with a double, and then Espinal has a non-competitive at bat. It's little things like that playoff teams do against bad teams. You put pressure on them and just say, basically, you're not good enough to beat us. When every situation comes up, we're going to do the right thing. Jeff, does anything tell you they can win 6 out of 7 with the way you've seen them play? Not for me. That's why I said, like, it's very hard to say that they can actually pull that off. I know who they're playing, but with the way you see them play all the time, you honestly can say that? 6 out of 7. I want to say it because I'm a glass half full guy, but let's be real. Do you think consistently they can put 6 out of the next 7 games together where they're not going to beat themselves? Raise your hand if you think that. There you go.
You know, I always say to people when they talk about glass half full or glass half empty, it's that depends on what's in the glass. Jude in London, you're on Blue Jays Talk. That didn't come out the way I wanted it to. Jude in London, you're on Blue Jays Talk. What's up, Jude?
Well, the only way I look at it is, like, I've got a parallel. You know, in football, NFL, there's like a good team and they'll say the next week's a trap game. And here's where I'm going, guys. Like, where
this is a trap season, Jude. This has been a trap season.
So thank you. So is that where, you know, we're 14 games over 500, I think. We're still in the wild card. But are we looking at trap series? And is it coaching and preparation, or is it execution by the players? And I'll hang up and say, what do you think gets into our headset? Our team's headset when they're seeing these series, like, we should be Kansas City, like you asked, Blair. We should be Boston, but what is our expectation and what is the preparation? Is it a trap game, trap series, or trap season, as you said, Barker? What is it? That's what I'm confused. I'll hang up.
All right, I'll pass it over to Kevin because it's a difficult question.
Yeah.
That's why you're here.
Look, here,
let me tee you up. You swing the bat.
To his first point, this is what I'll say. You could blame coaches into May 1st of June, right? You're not giving the right information. You're not telling them to do the right things. Why aren't you stopping? Why are you trying to steal? We're in September. Like, who in the right mind would point the finger at a coach? Like, come on. Like, for me, again, you've been playing this game all season. Now it's up to you to understand what the scoreboard's telling you, who's coming up to bat, what you haven't been doing right. Like, let's be honest. They're not good at stealing bases, Jeff. Like, they're not good at it. They're like the one of the worst teams in baseball at doing it. Why do they continue to try and do it? That's the thing, right, is sometimes you got to pass the baton with some common sense. Like, just stand there. Maybe somebody will walk. It'll be first and second. And, oh, look, our manager moved up. The dude that has hit a lot of home runs leading off, maybe he'll run into one. Maybe it'll be 4-0. And then we couldn't screw 4-0 up. That, for me, is the thing, right? And that's the frustrating thing of this whole thing is everybody wants to point the finger at some coaches. Not me. I've been in locker rooms this time of the year. It ain't got nothing to do with a coach. Like, you've been around long enough to know your swing, know what you can and can't do, know what you shouldn't do. It's baseball IQ. Like, point the finger at the players.
Yeah, at this point, I'm about ready to do that. But we've been really hard on the coaching staff and the hitting side all season long. And I understand it. What do I always say? It's not football. They're not offensive coordinators. They can't go up and swing the bats for the players. But I fail to believe that at some point on the Jays charter, the hitters all got together and said, you know what? Let's 1-9 make complete bullcrap swing decisions. Why don't we do that? I think there's something at play here. I use the phrase empty calories, and I mean it. That's what it is with this offense. There's some underlying numbers that are pretty good here with this team. There are some obvious offensive numbers that are good with this team, but it's just so much empty calories. For me, it's like a lot of fuss and a lot of fury, but at the end of the day, nothing gets created by it. And
so the first week of September, you want to say that that's the coach's fault, that the player is walking up and continues to swing at a 1-0 changeup that's 6 inches away off the plate from a lefty and rolls over to the shortstop. That's the coach's fault?
Well, again,
I mean, not me. You can do that if you want.
The information. I'm going to blame the players. Of course, I'm going to blame the players. I mean, I've been the one that's blaming the players all along when it comes to this. I've been harder on these guys than most people. But there's something systemic here. There's something not right. I failed to believe that all these guys decided to be dumb at the same time. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a minute. Billy and Markham. What's up, Billy?
Hey,
William.
Billy.
How are you, fellas? Yeah.
Doing well, man. I knew you were going to call in. This game, I said to Barker in the sixth inning, I said, this game's got Billy and Markham written all over it.
Yeah. Listen, very, very simply put, and you guys hit it on the head, although I'm going to disagree with the coaching part of it. I agree it's the hitter's fault, but maybe the manager on this team, who I cut up pretty badly a few calls back, maybe he's got to start sitting some guys down. Now, I know we have injuries, but when you keep making these mistakes, that is when I'm going to blame the manager and say, hey, listen, you need a couple days off. How many times have we told you not to swing at that damn slider a foot and a half outside? How many times 3-1 are you going out of the zone because, God forbid, you should take a walk and pass the baton? That's on the manager. I want my manager to be a little more tougher. John, if you are listening to this call, I want you to start getting on these guys. I knew you grew up with most of these guys coming up through the minor leagues, and maybe that's the problem. But I mean, we got to start sitting guys. And I know it's an injury problem, but this should have happened from the beginning of the year. And the case that I'm going to bring up is earlier in the game. Now, Kevin, you played first base in the big leagues. I still cannot believe what Vlad Guerrero did on that ground ball to first base to come across the diamond in a 1-0 ball game to barely get a runner out. Vladdy, Do you know the score? Do you know what's going on? If that play is not made, it's now runners on first and third, and that's a three-run homer. You've got a good pitcher on the mound. You're up 1-0. Get the damn sure out. We don't need the Sports Center play out of you every single time. You got lucky on that home run, but you jogged the first. Then you tried to make it up by going to second. You should have been out, and you get damn lucky to get to second base. You guys want to talk about brain cells? Our first baseman doesn't have them. He is not chasing pitches out of the strike zone. He wants to be the guy. He don't care. It's the old line. You don't get off the island by walking. He's chasing out of pure selfishness, not because he's being fooled. He won't pass the baton. It's got to be Vladdy. I catch the opening pitch when it's a superstar throwing it out. It's Vladdy this, it's Vladdy that, and it's Vladdy that has killed this team. Maybe drop him down to sixth or seventh in the order and see what's going on. I've said this to you before, guys. This guy is going to kill us in the playoffs. He's going to do something stupid that's going to kill us, and we're not going to have our broadcast crew to bail him out. Enough is enough with you, Vladdy. That's a terrible play that you got away with. That's it, guys.
All right, Billy. I'll mark you down as undecided on Vladdy's 2023.
Yeah, I couldn't disagree more. Like Vladdy did, the one thing you want one of your better players, and he is one of their better players. Like, he's having a down season, but he's oozing talent. Like, nobody can argue that. He's having a down year. He's trying too hard. Mechanically, he's off. Like, it's just – you have one of those years, you have one of those years. Like, it's part of it. He has a cannon at first base. He was geared up for that. He got himself in a position physically – to be able to have momentum going towards his target. He's one of the most accurate throwers in baseball across the diamond. He threw a BB right on the money to the third baseman. You tell him to do that 15 out of 10 times over and over and over again because he can do it. Like that, that's the point, right? You don't tell him to stop doing it. So, yeah, I couldn't disagree more with Billy. It's
Who are you benching?
We get back to this.
You can't bench Vladdy. I will say this. I'm not saying there wasn't a time this season when maybe you should have benched Vladdy, but you don't do it right now when you're life and death to win games. You just don't. Further to your point about Vladdy. To me, that shows court awareness, because what have we been saying about this team? They haven't been able to get the big hit. They haven't been able to score runs. Vladdy sees a chance to get the out at third and prevent a potential run. He takes it. I had no problem with that at all.
I'm with you.
I mean, there are a lot of things I'll rag on Vladdy about, but generally when it comes to throwing, he makes, by and large, the right decision. John Schneider was interviewed after the game, and he talked about Davis Schneider. We got to talk about Davis Schneider. We got to find a silver lining to this this cloud. And for me, one of it was Chad Green, but the other was Davis Schneider, another home run.
Love his approach, really. He doesn't budge. You know, he's really kind of focusing on a pitch in the middle of the zone until he gets it two strikes, and he's not missing it when he gets it for the most part. So his approach is consistent. You know, the walks, the damage, it's kind of what he's been doing. He's definitely brought a shot of energy into our team since he's been here. And, you know, it's easy to put him in there when you know what you're getting every day.
Consistency. The thing that stands out to me about Davis Schneider, yeah, there's a bunch of, obviously the numbers, the offensive numbers have been great. But, Kevin, the thing that stands out to me is just the consistency of his approach. I can think of maybe two really bad at-bats he's had since he's been up here. Two at-bats where you go, what are you doing?
Yeah, I think the one thing that stands out to me, it's hard to get him out the same way back-to-back at-bats. Like, that's the one thing. Like, you saw him earlier, he punched out on a fastball up. The next time he hit a homer on a fastball up. It's that thing, right? It's okay, you can get me once. This time I'm going to time that up a little bit better. I'll be a little bit better mechanically. I'll catch it out front a little bit more. I got to get it going a little bit sooner. Gets to that timing. He gets to that, you know, keeping the shoulder in and staying inside baseballs. And it's about timing this time of the year. And how dare you do that to me twice? And I think occasionally you rarely see that from him, which is a big deal. It's hearing John say that, okay, don't not write his name in a lineup. How many games you got left? Put his name in a lineup for however many games there's left. Like, if he's that good and he's that fun to watch, forget about matchups. Forget about bat paths and, you know, this dude throws a slider. And I like Kevin Biggio's uppercut. Okay. Okay, fine. Have him and Davis in the lineup at the same time. Like, it's real simple. Like, if you love him that much, just don't overthink it. And sometimes I think that's a lot what we see is some overthinking of it. When you got a dude that's hot and can do things that other guys right now are not doing, don't overthink it. Write his name in the lineup. Let him go out there and do it.
416-870-0590, 888-666-0590, *590. We're on the air until 6 o'clock, until 7 o'clock. It is Jeff Blair and Kevin Barker. This is Blue Jays Talk. The Jays, 5-2 losers to the Oakland Athletics. We will take a break and come back. Take a look at the out-of-town scoreboard, such as it is. It's Blue Jays Talk on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
I think just kind of didn't click the way we wanted to, minus Davis's homer there. Thought Vladdy got two of them today, actually. But, yeah, can't really put your finger on it. Move on to Kansas City at home. That's fine. You know, you keep winning series, and that's what we want to do at this point. Would have liked another one or two on the road trip, but, you know, you get out of it 4-2. Enjoy tomorrow and get back after it at home.
So, basically, the manager said he would have preferred going 6-0 in this road trip instead of 4-2.
Absolutely. Who wouldn't?
Which I would, too, which means he probably thinks that the opportunity was there. 5-2 of the Blue Jays losing to the Oakland Athletics tonight in front of 3,871 fans in Oakland. I see a crowd that size.
What? Why was that funny when you said that out loud?
It just was.
It shouldn't be funny.
It shouldn't be funny.
That's a Major League Baseball game.
I remember attending a game I was covering at Olympic Stadium one time, and there might have been like 6,000 people there, and some dude got just blasted in the side of the head by a foul ball, and one of the writers next to me looked over to me and said, "You got to have the worst luck in the world if you're in this crowd and you get hit by a foul ball." And I was thinking about that when I watched that game in Oakland. Yeah, we'll get back to the phone lines. But right now it's time for the Major League Standings Watch presented by Bet365. You can download the Bet365 app and check out the latest odds for today's baseball games. 19+, play responsibly, Ontario only. Everybody that you should be worried about, other than the Blue Jays, of course, hasn't played yet today. So it's a relatively easy look at the standings. Tampa Bay is still in front of the wild card race. Seattle is at 77-61. Texas is 76-62. Toronto now a game behind Texas in the win column. A game behind them as well, if you want to put it that way, in the loss column. As of now, they are, Texas has a .551 winning percentage, and the Jays have a .550 winning percentage. Texas still has to play today against the Houston Astros, and we all know what that means. For the Texas Rangers. Clifton and Etobicoke, where you been, man?
Buddy, you know, when I heard you say earlier that I think you made reference to big picture, I thought you were, you know, making that straight at me because you know I'm a big picture guy.
You are a big picture guy. You may be the biggest big picture guy I know.
Yeah. So that's why I'm called, you know, like for most of the season. I think this is my first call on Jays Talk all season long. Because, Jeff, I've said this to you guys over the years, that as far as I'm concerned, the Blue Jays could make the playoffs the second to last day or the last day of the season for me. Because whatever they do in the playoffs is going to seem much more greater than, say, a team like Baltimore or the Rays, who have been making all the running so far this year. When these guys go down in flames in the first round of the playoffs, it's a huge disappointment. And there's going to be pressure on them next year, too, like to perform, because now they've really put themselves at the top of the division. We have seen Seattle, they have made their run, and they seem to be hanging right now. Minnesota, I mean, like unlike you guys, I don't think these guys, you know, are going to do much in the playoffs. So of all the teams, the Blue Jays is the only one that they haven't made their run yet. And to me, this is the position that I like to be in. You guys know I'm a horse racing guy.
Mm-hmm.
So this is exactly where I want the Blue Jays to be. And I've been saying all season long that I circled September 15th to the 30th. That's where I want to see the Blue Jays, like, start, you know, hitting their stride and take that into the playoffs. So, you know, as far as, you know, them in the playoffs yesterday and back out today, September 6th, no. I want to see them in the playoffs come the September 29th.
You aren't concerned, though, Clifton, that some of the trends we've seen, I get your point. If the Jays make the playoffs and win that first series, no one's going to remember today. No one's going to remember Dalton Varsho stealing or Vladdy swings or whatever. No, we're just not going to mention it. But I think the problem is, you see, when they lose games, there always seems to be a common thread to those losses. And I'm glad you're an optimist. I know you're a horse. You're a big horse guy. But I've seen nothing that suggests to me that these guys know where the switch is, let alone, you know, how to turn it on. I hope I'm wrong. I hope you're right. Luckily for Jays fans, you're usually right. But that's what bothers me, is I've just seen it's like rinse and repeat with these guys over and over and over again.
Kevin, listen. You know. A month ago, or maybe 3 weeks ago, Seattle looked like a team that was going to just cruise into the playoffs and run away with everything. Look at them now. That's the thing about baseball, man. That's why I say, you know, I usually make my prediction at the start of the season and just wait to see what happens and then talk about it at the end of the season, because there's so much ups and downs. And, you know, you guys run a talk show. So, you know, you need the input from the fans and you need all these things to happen on a daily basis. But, like, for me as a bettor, you know, like, I handicap, you know, certain things, handicap the division at the start of the season, put my money down and just, you know, wait and see what transpires.
Clifton, I appreciate the call, my friend. Always good to talk to you. Be well. I used to love Clifton and Etobicoke would call in all the time in one of the seven other shows I used to do in this station. It was great. Mm-hmm. And yeah, Clifton does. You know, Clifton was the guy, I believe, that called up and told us that Chris Carpenter was going to outpitch Roy Halladay in a playoff game or something. He was right. Said he went and put some money on it. So, anyhow, it's always, all kidding aside, it's always good to hear from Clifton. And yeah, look, I mean, I think that's one thing about Clifton, an approach like that does help you maintain your sanity about not getting too high and not getting too low. As I said, though, I just find myself being disappointed with this team more often than I thought I'd be. And like empty calories. I keep getting back to it, man. Empty calories. Lauren and Simcoe.
Hey, Blair. Hey, Barker. Love the podcast. Listen to you guys daily.
Thanks,
funny
Lauren.
Joke, there's probably more people at a London Majors game than an Oakland A's game, but I'll just say that for a laugh.
You know what? I'm not laughing because I know that you're probably right.
This whole season is like a Jekyll and Hyde. You have your games where you're supposed to get up against the division, they don't show. You have your letdown games against 500, they don't show. I mean, this team swept the Braves in May. It swept the Diamondbacks after the All-Star break. It took two
they
or three.
They pummeled the Red Sox in Fenway. We forget that. They pummeled the Red Sox in Fenway.
They took 2 of 3 from the Dodgers in L.A.
Yep.
Their best hope in the next 7 days to go 5-2. And I'm an accountant, so I'm going to be black and white with you. Vladdy is not a superstar. He is an average to above average player. And if you take out all the AAA ballpark, that's what his stats are.
Yeah, listen, I've...
He's not a superstar that can lead your team on a daily basis. He's not an Acuna. He's not a Josh Donaldson. He's not a Joe Jose. And he also doesn't have that swagger. And this team needs somebody to take him by the jockstrap and the belt and say, we're going, and this is how it's going to be.
Lauren, I appreciate the call. Listen, I've made the point, and I... You know, maybe this may come back to bite me because I do have to keep reminding myself Vladdy's still young. It's possible he's more Pippen than Jordan. That's not horrible. Scottie Pippen had a nice career for himself. I've been disappointed because I figured, I understand what Vladdy had a streak of 21 games reaching base snap today. So what? I mean, give me a big hit in those 21 games. Name one. You know, this is a team, and this is why I made this point in that Sportsnet.ca article. Bo's out. Bo maybe, I'll tell you what, Bo might have come back too early. I mean, we don't know. Bo's out. Mm. Vladdy's supposed to carry. I'm sorry. At some point, throw all the underlying numbers aside. Dude, you're supposed to be carrying this team. Everybody else, I look at all the other players, all the other elite players in baseball have at some point this year carried their team. I'm willing to bet that. I have yet to see that from Vladdy this year. And I'm not saying that it makes me think the Jays have to win, in spite of Vladdy, because I don't think that's fair to him. And, you know, it is still got 3 weeks of ball left in September. So, yeah, there's a possibility that he could write his name on it. But empty calories. I keep saying that. Empty calories, man. There's a lot going on, but... I ain't satisfied with what I'm seeing. At the end of the day, I look at Vladdy, I go, that 21 game on base streak, yeehaw, I'm still hungry. I know he'll feel about Barker. I can't put it any other way.
Yeah, he'll definitely have a lot to prove going into next year. How's that?
Yeah, and further to Lauren's point, I don't know if I at this point the only way I give Vladdy one of those big contracts is he's got to cut me a bit of a discount. This point, I'm not even thinking about it. And I'm willing to bet Vladdy's probably not even thinking about it either. Peter in Ottawa. What's up, Peter?
Yeah, hi, Jeff. Hi, Kevin. I got 3 quick points. Everyone's talking about this Texas series, but you know what? I'm not worried about that series. I'm worried about the last 15 games where we're playing Boston 3 times, Yankees 6, and Tampa Bay 6. And you know what? As a handicapper, I don't see the Jays winning more than 5 games out of the last 15. That's a big issue, and they're going to fall down big time because their record against the American League East, as you well documented on the show, is atrocious. Point number 2, Vladdy. This year about Vladdy was all about Vladdy. He didn't give a about the team, pardon the S-word, but him, the home run derby at the All-Star game was the most important thing. And the other thing that he felt let down when his number 4 hitter, Teoscar Hernandez, was traded away, he hasn't had a good backup hitter behind him to make him look better. And my 3rd point, I was so disappointed that the Jays lost Danny Jansen with the broken hand. That broken hand injury could have been avoided. I look at the highlights of that. His throwing hand was exposed on that foul tip where his hand should have been behind his right leg, which it normally is. And he's a huge loss. He was on pace for 22, 23 home runs out of the catching spot. So it doesn't look good, even though they might win against Texas. But, hey, man, love the show. Like to hear your comments. Take care. All the best.
Thanks, Peter. Be well. Yeah, Vladdy. I mean, look, one of the things you heard when Teoscar was traded was, the Jays wanted to do something to shake up the culture a bit. That's one of the things you heard. I mean, you know, God, how many calls do we take about the home run jacket? And if you've noticed, when he does hit a home run, Vladdy still does the home run jacket thing. There's a message there. I absolutely believe there's a message.
Well, it's rare he gets to do that. It's rare.
Well, yeah, I was going to say. They have not... If they did have a home run jacket, it would not need to be dry cleaned very much this year. But all that aside, maybe they got a home run vest. I don't know. All that aside, I mean, I think the caller's point is valid. we've seen a different Vladdy almost from the get-go. And yeah, people expect more from him.
I don't get the selfish part of it. I talk to people, and I've talked to Vladdy behind the scenes. I mean, it's not lack of effort. Like, I understand running balls out and those kind of things. I don't understand it's all about Vladdy comments. I don't get those. Like, he's just not
You're
having
the one who calls him the aircraft carrier.
That's what I said.
Like a fishing trawler.
Yeah, what has that got to do with him being selfish and him being all about Vladdy? Where is that at? Because he don't run the ball out. Yeah, I don't know where that comes from. Like,
no,
I
don't.
That?
The whole selfish thing. I mean, not running. I think I said this, and I don't care if guys run out balls, routine ground balls. I just don't. It's a long season, yada yada, et cetera, et cetera. But the not running on that double was a bad look. We saw, I believe, was it yesterday where he kind of had the same thing? Where he watched a ball. Yep. Maybe it was today. He watched the ball.
Yeah, that's
and
not
then he
selfish.
Finally
that's dumb. It's not selfish.
Exactly.
Yeah.
That's my point. I don't think Vladdy's a selfish dude. I don't think has a selfish bone in his body.
Me either.
But I do think, I don't know if, and maybe it shouldn't, maybe you shouldn't, maybe the front office shouldn't have given more thought to how Vladdy, quote unquote, feels about losing Teoscar. Maybe they shouldn't. All I know is, as much as Eric Swanson pitched some big games for this team and gave them good results, look where they are. I mean, who'd you rather have? Work without Eric Swanson. You have Teoscar.
Who would you rather have hitting cleanup against Oakland, Teoscar or Witt? That's all you need to say to yourself. Like, that's a no-brainer, that part of it. And they did what they felt they had to do to make their team better when it comes to run prevention. I was the guy in spring training saying, who's hitting cleanup? Like, forget about who's protecting Vladdy, because I thought Vladdy could protect himself. Obviously, he's had a down year. He's had some issues with a lot of different things. I don't think it's just one thing. That's why I brought up the couple of scenarios today where a couple of at-bats, it's different things. That's what you're fighting when you're going through what he's going through where, you know, you think you get it. You didn't get it. Now what do you do? Like, everything was working. I finished it. I held it. I'm standing there. I'm posing. I think it's going. It normally does when I do that, and it didn't. Now what do I do? That's where he's at. So it's –
And again, we keep hearing.
The selfish part, I just don't understand it.
We keep
hearing. It doesn't make any sense to me.
We keep hearing because we keep asking the question. He is healthy. There's not weight issues or anything like that that crop up with Vladdy. He's playing every day. It's just for whatever reason, and you know it's possible. It could just be one of those years. I hate to say it. It could just be one of those years. And I don't know how you quantify that beyond sometimes guys
just
scuffle.
One of those years. Just one of those years.
It's one of those years. And the difference is there hasn't been, other than Bo, there really hasn't been anybody around to pick him up through one of those years.
No. Chapman wasn't really good. Like
Chapman had a good month.
Where's Kirk at? Like, there's been some guys who you were counting on to do things who haven't been doing things, and, you know, it's all pointing at Vladdy. Yeah, it's just one of those years where he hasn't lived up to what we thought he should be or could be.
We didn't talk about Hyunjin Ryu today, and we should. I mean, the Jays, this is the first time this year, I believe, they've lost in a game that he's pitched. 77 pitches, 50 strikes. We didn't talk about Hyunjin Ryu. I want to talk about Chris Bassett before we go, because we didn't have a chance to talk about Chris Bassett last night as well. What'd you make of Ryu? And we got to talk about Bassett's performance last night. Another 8-inning performance. So I'll let you have the last word, Kevin, about those two things.
Yeah, the Ryu thing, I'm with Joe. Joe said, I think, on the telecast that he wished he had one pitch back. Yeah, I think that's it, right? He wanted to go up with a fastball. He had him set up for it. That's what he was, you know, he was changing speeds to elevate an up-and-in fastball. He didn't get it there. Like, the mechanics wasn't there. He choked it off. He held on to it too long. It went down and in instead of up and in. That's the game of inches, right? A hitter beats you. Tip your hat. It's that thing. Fastball command was a little spotty changeup command was a little spotty, right? That those were the two things. Sinker was non-existent, which has sort of been his little go-to since he's been back his last couple of starts. Bassett, look, I told you this on Friday. I think it's whenever the day we were, our last show before he pitched. I said, when he's got the sinker and the cutter, you can cancel Christmas. He had the sinker and the cutter. That's basically it. When he's going to quadrants with different movements with those two pitches and can add in all the plethora of different speeds on the different breaks of secondary pitches that he can do it with and get called strikes with them and be unpredictable with those and then go quadrants with the cutter and the sinker, he's the best pitcher they got. How about that?
5-2, the Jays have lost to the – that's a pretty bold statement. Pretty bold statement
well,
on your part.
3 months ago, I would have said something else. Right now, when he's got the cutter and the sinker.
I cannot – it's a bold statement, but I cannot disagree with it. 5-2, the Jays have lost to the Oakland Athletics. They will have Thursday off. They open that big homestand on Friday. Be no Blue Jays baseball tomorrow, obviously, but there will be Blair and Barker from 5 to 7 Eastern on Sportsnet 590, the Fan of Sportsnet, and we'll be on Friday as well. We'll be doing the post-game show, Blue Jays Talk, on Friday after the game against Kansas City as well. So, the final score, the Oakland Athletics 5, the Toronto Blue Jays 2. Thank you for listening to Blue Jays Baseball, brought to you by Crown Rust Protection. New and used vehicle prices are rising and inventory is scarce. Avoid the hassle of buying prematurely by making your vehicle last longer with Crown Rust Protection. For a special summer offer on rust protection, visit crown.com today.